excited to participate in a learning experience as you join us right here on Talk Radio. You'll meet new and interesting people. You'll hear fresh and stimulating ideas. You'll be a part of what Talk Radio is all about. Talk Radio is...
Bill Jenkins.
Welcome to a Saturday night. It's time for Open Mind. I'm Bill Jenkins, and we want to stretch yours, educate yours a little bit, give you some new things to think about. And do we have a thinker with us tonight to lead us along the way? A lady that I've wanted to have on the show for a long, long time. I know I've received so many requests from so many of you to have her aboard, and tonight she is here, Dr. Safika Karagula. Dr. Karagula, welcome to Open Mind.
Thank you.
And congratulations on those two wonderful, wonderful books of yours. Breakthrough in Creativity was one of the early books for me in learning about what I was going to deal with this thing we call the open mind monster. And your latest one, Through the Curtain, of course, is fascinating about where we are really learning things and how we can tap that extrasensory perception or higher perception.
Mm-hmm.
What's going on around us? Do we see changes happening in the way we're teaching ourselves and learning?
I think there are tremendous changes taking place if we look at the world around us, both in science, in technology, in social revolutions, in concepts of our attitude to each other. And a lot of people are interested in their own consciousness. I think 17 years ago or 15 years ago, nobody would speak of consciousness, and now everybody speaks of consciousness.
It's a buzzword now, isn't it?
It is a buzzword.
We need to find a new word for it.
I think man is the mystery, and I think once we understand him, it will help us to understand a lot of things around us. And
the key word right now is change, it seems like. We pointed out before, it seems like all of the things that we're doing, whether it is in the manner in which we govern ourselves, the manner in which we provide goods and services, the manner in which we interrelate, the manner in which we develop our science is not working like it used to. It's not working as well as it used to. The old techniques are not achieving for man the things man wants for them now. It's as if there has been an inner awakening in people everywhere. And what happened in the past is just not good enough anymore. Do you sense that?
Yes, I agree 100%. I think maybe Through the Curtain, which is the new book which I just published with Dr. Viola Pettit-Neal and myself, this was a knowledge which we obtained for 25 years, and we never said anything about it. I think the time was not yet. And I was glad that before she passed on, that she agreed that the book should be published, and most of the material is out. There are maybe a few things that was time is not yet for people, because it may be confusing for them to comprehend it. But I think Through the Curtain is a very unusual book, perhaps for the first time in the history of humanity that I'm aware of, that a student who, while they go to sleep, there are two dimensions of sleep. We've got a lot of people dreaming of dreams, have been a lot of interest in dreams and people trying to recall their dreams. But beside dreams going into the, what is usually known, into the emotional dimension or the astral world, there are people who can pass during the sleep state from that dimension to the mental world around us, which is equally around us. And during that, they are aware of classes, lectures, and they are trained in many dimensions, depending on their own interests. Maybe writing, getting new concepts. And this book, Through the Curtain, unusual because part of the book, I was permitted to ask questions while the student, in this case it was Dr. Viola Pettit-Neal, in a night class and recorded. And then the next morning, she would be able to repeat verbatim what the night class was about.
Now, we should be very careful and point out that the night class you're talking about was not going down to the local university or college or high school.
No. It was not.
This was something happening in an altered state of consciousness, perhaps?
It was a new dimension of sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason we call the book Through the Curtains is because the person passed through a curtain of energy, or when they came to discuss the idea with me, they will come and stand in this curtain of energy between the night class, the class they're attending, and me on this dimension. And this curtain of energy was like the entrance into another dimension, and the person would be able to come in and out. Now, in these classes, one of the interesting things that I'm fascinated with, and was fascinated with, is there were discussions on ESP. I happen to be interested in a higher sense perception. I call it higher sense perception instead of extrasensory, because I don't think there's anything extra outside us. It is all within us. We have to discover it.
Mm-hmm.
And the fascinating thing was that if we took the five senses which we have sight, hearing, taste, and so forth, and I'll take one explanation. We have physical sight, which is normal. We have people on the physical dimension who can't see more than certain frequencies. Some of them are colorblind. We have people who can actually see into the ultraviolet range, normally. And I've been in at Kodak, and they use these people with these types of abilities in the dark rooms, so that they can walk in the dark room without any problem. Now, we have other people who have another dimension, which they can penetrate the dense form, and they can see inside the human body and how the energies are in that system. Now, at first, as a physician, as a neuropsychiatrist, this is not an easy thing to move from solid medical approach to this new dimension of the human mind.
Did it strain your reality box a little bit?
A lot, more than a little bit. I called it, I became cross-eyed. I would look at it from a medical point of view. Maybe I should just say that I was a neuropsychiatrist by training. I had been, wrote a number of papers on hallucinations of the insane. And I was in Montreal Neurological Institute, where I studied patients for electrical stimulation of the brain. In fully conscious patients, produce certain, we called it psychical hallucination. They would hear voices, they would see visions, while different parts of the brain would be stimulated by 2 volts only of electricity. Now, I was sure I had the answer to all this, and suddenly somebody says to me, would you read a book with an open mind, which I wrote about in Breakthrough to Creativity or High Sense Perception? And I said, for a scientist to say we'll keep a closed mind wouldn't be appropriate. And so the book that was sent me, of course, I've said about it, is the work of Edgar Cayce, about the life of Edgar Cayce.
Mm-hmm.
What struck me about him was that the seeing at a distance, which really shattered my old theories completely.
The remote viewing.
Remote viewing, seeing at a distance, whatever you want. Because the data was confirmed more than once.
Yes.
Therefore, there is something to it. And I believe nothing happens once. It has to happen. Nature doesn't produce it just once. It has to recur. And so my search was, having done work on the insane, having done work on the electrical stimulation of the brain, the challenge was, can I understand these people and see how do these three aspects of man, the higher octaves of perception, as well as these physical perception. And I found, that's why I used the word higher sense perception, because I think these are higher octaves of our five senses.
Just an extension of them.
An extension, and we use them in new dimensions of energies, what you've been talking about and others. And then you begin to say, well, how do we see the human body? And I suddenly began to think of, how do we see by X-ray? All we need is a small crystal, which we change the frequency. And anybody can walk to a room and look through the chest and see the heart beating. We never thought it was possible so many years ago.
I'm going to take just a break here, because you're into my stuff here. and to this marvelous audience we have out there, that's Dr. Safika Karagulam. We're talking about, well, your extended perceptive abilities. You can see better than you can see. You can hear better than you can hear. You can probably taste and feel more than you think you can. You can move into areas that most people don't even dream exist. Is that not true?
That's correct.
How do we do it? How do we go about doing it?
Well, we have to. One of the things that have fascinating is the last 25 years is to do research of two types of research. One, those who have the abilities and how do they differ from the average person. And the second is to verify the statements of those who claim to have these abilities. In other words, being a physician, if somebody tells me they can see through the human body, I don't accept it. I say, all right, it is possible. Then I take them down to a hospital, or I take them to a veterinary place where I have the animals, let's say, and they would diagnose whether there's a tumor or there's no tumor. And then in 10 minutes, we open up the abdomen of the doggy and we see if it is there or not.
Mm-hmm. And
we get verification. Now, in other words, we're learning. They don't see as we would see the dense form that you and me look at.
Mm-hmm.
It is like you say, you look at an X-ray, you see a pattern. Sometimes, because they see energy patterns, if they are not trained as physicians, There are some physicians who have these abilities, by the way.
Uh-huh.
But those who are not physicians, they don't describe it in terms of diagnosis, of medical diagnosis. They describe it in terms how the energy pattern is perceived by them. Let me give an illustration. Once I was examining somebody, and I didn't know the history at the time of the patient. Sometimes I didn't want to know, so people would say, people reading your mind, even that is a great ability, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So
some people seem to be able to do that.
Yes. And so the person looked at the chest of the person, the clairvoyant looked at it and said, the person has had some abnormality, the energy isn't quite right in upper lung. And I said, what do you mean? She said, well, the energy jumps. The term was jumping. And I said, what do you mean jumping? She said, naturally, usually, the lines of force I see in lung smoothly, straight across, but this one seems to be broken and it jumps, but it's connected. Now, she says, I think it is something that the patient has had and it is all right now. It's not an illness, but it has recovered. I found out then, taking the history, the patient had tuberculosis in the past 20 years, where the scar in the upper lung has changed the tissue, and therefore the flow of the lines of force, which would be normal there, looked scarred, jumping. The energy was skipping. Now, this made a lot more sense than if the person has said to me she had tuberculosis, because the person is not a medical person.
Yes.
Any tissue damage in that area may produce similar patterns. So they describe in terms of energy pattern rather than as diagnosis.
Have you dealt with people who can do remote viewing?
Yes.
And how do you find that? It's a fascinating subject.
There's another fascinating thing. I don't quite know. I have never studied them at the moment when they are doing it.
Mm-hmm.
I have met some of them, like Ingo Swann and others, and even my friend, Dr. Neil, had an ability to make a contact with the spiritual hierarchy.
Mm-hmm.
She belonged to the spiritual hierarchy of our planet. And that was a direct contact. She could perceive as well as telepathically communicate. And I could tell the difference between her own language and her own. This is in full waking consciousness. The person isn't asleep. The person isn't
right.
Sleeping. These
mm-hmm.
are different abilities. Some people are scared from using it. But there are a lot of people who have it, not realizing they do. I understand that those who have that potential, sometimes, before they fall to sleep, as they fall to sleep, they may see miniature, perfect miniature, like in movies,
mm-hmm.
pass before their eyes before they fall asleep. In other words, that may give a hint to those who may have latent potential. Now, I haven't studied too many of those cases, but I have.
There's been a lot of research into it at the Stanford Research
Institute. I know, as far as the ability.
Yeah.
You know, I know Putoff has done some. There's
Ristletag.
And I met two people myself where, funnily, this person was in the Middle East, and her husband was way down in Saudi Arabia, and she was in Beirut, Lebanon. And her husband was supposed to be in one place. And she suddenly was aware that he wasn't in the hotel where he's supposed to be, and there was somebody coming in with dinner, and they were serving meals and thing going on. And the next day she called him. She said, what were you doing? You were not in the hotel. Oh, he said, we decided, we were working so hard, we decided to stay where we are in the office, so we ordered some dinner. We had dinner there. I think he would have a hard time with her.
He better be good.
Yeah, he would know where he is. And, but also it was helpful for her when there was danger.
Sure.
And a few times she had knew that danger was going to occur at one place, and she would be away from that place. So these things have their...
The perceptions of the mind are an amazing thing. And
I only hope they will not be used only for spying or any of that stuff.
Well, naturally, when the Pentagon gets involved in that research, you know what that's about. But hopefully out of that will come
something... Out of that will come human potential.
Right. We'll be right back in just a moment with Dr. Safika Karagula. I'm Bill Jennings that way. We can use the left brain to talk and to read, do mathematics, and to reason deductively. On the right side of the brain, it's the originator of ideas and spatial sense and intuition. But how do we go about using more of our brain power? Well, you know that that's something we're into even here tonight. It's called HemiSync, by the way, which is short for Hemispheric Synchronization. It's developed by the Monroe Institute of Applied Sciences. Now, the process uses pulses of sound to help create simultaneously an identical wave from both brain's hemispheres. Now, originally, the Institute was granted a patent in 1975 based upon the use of such sound pulses to induce a frequency following response in the human brain, and we've had that for you here on the Open Mind Show. Let you listen to a little of it. Now, this simply means that when your ear hears a certain type of sound signal, it tends to respond or to resonate with similar electrical signals for more information. Now, if you want more information on that, the Monroe Institute Hemisync Seminar is being held on the weekend of June 29th right here in the Los Angeles area. Now, as you know, Bob Monroe is a good friend of mine and yours. This is the fellow who's going to get me out of body one of these days. But go in and find out about the Hemisync Seminar. It's the weekend of June 29th here in the Los Angeles area. The number to call is area code 213-346-9151. Now, let me give you that number again. 346-9151 in the 213 area code. The weekend of June 29th, the Monroe Institute of Applied Sciences has a fascinating seminar for you to get in on. And I hope you do. I'm Bill Jenkins, and very delighted to have in studio with me Dr. Shafika Karagula. And we are talking about a myriad of things. We were just touching on the out-of-body experience here off mic, as it were. But mainly we're dealing with her new book, Through the Curtain. And it's a nice curtain to go through.
Mm-hmm.
That book tells you how you can find that curtain and go to night class, as it were.
At least it will help you to understand there are such aspects of yourself which you can ask before you go to sleep. You say, I want to go to some classes. And I think some people go to these classes. They may not bring the full memory, but they come in with interest, mm-hmm. with new concepts, with new ideas. And they, when a book falls into their hand, it feels familiar to them. They feel at home with it. I think it almost triggers off the memory that they have been in a class and the ideas are coming through. I think a lot of creative writers I've known who have those abilities.
I think most writers will say the same thing to you. I don't know where this information is coming from. I don't know where these characters are being developed or these stories are being developed. I think one of the greatest students in the night classes, as you put that term on it, in reading his works, was Nikola Tesla.
Yes.
Who freely and openly gives all credit to the incredible inventions he had, which are the cornerstone of our society right now. Tesla was the greatest genius of our time.
Do you have his big book?
Yes.
All right.
I have quite a library on Tesla.
He was incredible.
Probably the greatest scientific mind of all time. And so... Well, politically, some terrible things happened to Tesla.
I know.
It makes me angry every time I think about it.
I agree with you. I think he was never given the credit he...
But his science is now being relived again, and
you know,
did
encyclopedias don't mention his name?
About that long.
Hardly any in some of them.
Yep. I can tell you why. It's a sad story that goes back to political influence and money and greed centered in Wall Street around the turn of the century.
That's correct.
We can thank the likes of J.P. Morgan and all of that for stifling a man who very well could have stopped two world wars.
That's correct.
Well, let's don't get on that.
Bless Nikola, whatever he is, Nikola.
We're glad he was here, and but his there are a number of brilliant scientists today who understand it.
I tell you, most I have talked to some scientists. Some of the far-reaching ones are beginning to be aware of the limitation of the material energy, even as they think of it.
Mm-hmm.
But they speak of terms of consciousness.
Yes.
You take Eccles, who was a great neurophysiologist, and I didn't know Sherrington until I read recently. He accepted life after death.
Yes.
And so does Eccles and others. But I think because of their position, they want verification. And I think some of us who've got to work in this field, I've been working in this field for over 25 years, we do need to ground ourselves to find the facts, verify them. Otherwise, there are a lot of phony stuff outside there that is absolutely nonsense, junky, and dangerous.
Oh, and it sounds so nice to believe in if you don't have anything else to believe in. And you want to believe in something that is esoteric or that you can put your hat on, but you're very, very correct.
It's
dangerous. You're going to have that kind of a belief that has so much to do with your own spirituality, have it grounded in as much factual data as possible.
And it can be grounded. There are a lot of books that one should read. And I always say to people, you don't go and start working with the radiation like Madame Curie, not being aware. She got burned, her hands got burned, and she got cancer and died from it. I mean, the law still applies, and I think far more in this field of higher sense perception, these other dimensions, the etheric dimension, the astral dimension, the mental dimension, or the still higher dimension of the Buddhic, and atmic, and so forth, There are laws that govern them, and if we don't follow the laws, people get burned out. And I have seen people. I get people who are in trouble, who want help. Sometimes once they tear, it's like tearing a part of the skin.
Tearing the etheric body.
Tearing the etheric body, sometimes tearing the interconnection of the three fields. You see, the three fields, that is the vital etheric, the astral, and the mental, are interconnected via vortices of energy on the three levels. So we have 21 major vortices of energy interconnected. And if we disalign it, you pull it. Therefore, once or twice, maybe it is all right, and there isn't much harm because the tear will not be. But if people persist in it, invariably, they will produce phenomena, mental instability, astral instability, possessions, an entity can get in. For instance, a person who tries to, the reason I say it, for people who get out of their body, it is a fact, people are able to get out of their body. They go in their consciousness in the astral form, and while they're out there, they're still connected physiologically by a cord, like a tether, like the tether of the astronaut who goes out from the thing.
Right. Mm-hmm.
He's connected, but he stretches this cord away and he floats above his body. And this is a fact. But if he does it too often, he disconnects and loosens that interconnection, which is like a protection for us. And an entity standing on the other side of the astral dimension can slip in and he's out.
And there's nothing you can do about it.
There's nothing you can do about it.
I'll bet you that there are a lot of people who'd like to talk to you.
I'll tell you once before. The first time I was in speaking to Women's Club, the vice president of the Women's Club was next to me, and they were reviewing Breakthrough to Creativity. And while I was having lunch, she turned to me. She said, "Dr. Caragula, how can I stay in my body?" My God, I didn't expect that kind of a question.
How can
she
stay?
She's too fast, and she walks down the steps, and she's out.
But I want to go just once to see what it's like. You're saying I shouldn't do that.
Maybe the good Lord is protecting you.
Maybe so. All right. If you want to talk to Dr. Caragula, let me give you the numbers. All of the numbers, as you know, end in talk. TALK, subject. And that is how little we're using our mind and how little we're using our perceptive abilities.
Mm-hmm.
For there is a much higher level and there's a much greater ability that we all have. I know Scott's been waiting on the phone here for quite a while. Scott, welcome aboard.
Hi, Bill.
Yeah. What's on your mind, Scott?
Well, I was wondering how I can reach these higher levels of perception.
Scott, how old are you?
I'm 12 years old.
Fantastic that you're interested in it at 12. I'm delighted.
Oh, thank you.
Well, Dr. Caragula is here, perhaps.
What would you like to do with it, Scott?
Well, I would like to, just do everything. You know, I'd like to know how to, look inside of my body and just, understand myself better.
Mm-hmm. One of the best things is to read about these things so that you don't get yourself into trouble when you try to dabble with too many of these things. And maybe one of the books you might enjoy reading, and that is a book called The Boy Who Saw True, a little boy of 7 years old who had some of these abilities, and he was helped by his teacher, and it was written as an autobiography. It's anonymous because the author is known, or the person was known in England. But sometimes he got into trouble because he didn't know how to use it. And this way it may give you wisdom of not to dabble too much. But you'll enjoy the book about The Boy Who Saw True, it's called. Anonymous. You can buy it from DeVores or many of the stores.
Also, Scott, you sound to me like you won't have trouble reading Dr. Caragula's book, Through the Curtain, and Breakthroughs in Creativity.
I think Breakthrough will help him to understand these different abilities. Do you have any, Scott, yourself?
What?
Do you have any abilities yourself? Are you aware of anything?
No, unfortunately not.
Well, maybe it's fortunate. Maybe when you grow up a little bit, you're wiser, you'll use them better.
Well, Scott, thank you very much. And it's always nice to know that youngsters your age are listening and are interested.
That's right. I have known children of 7. I had once, for instance, a child who could see these colors around people.
Auras.
And auras, or energy fields, or the astral body, really, they are.
Mm-hmm.
And the mother was worried. She called me. She said, "What can I do about it?" I said, "Well, just watch it, help her, but let her not talk too much about it." There are many kids who have these abilities, and many are coming in to begin to see some one dimension, especially the vital field or the etheric. So there is a great deal of interest, and I think many people will develop these abilities slowly and surely.
Okay, Scott?
Yeah, thank you.
All right. Thank you for checking in with us. All right, Richard, what's on your mind?
Yes, Phil. I wanted to ask Dr. Caragula if she got my letter I sent her recently.
You sent her a letter recently?
In it to Arizona.
Mm-hmm. Well, who's speaking?
Richard.
Richard.
Richard what?
Austin.
Huh?
Austin, he says his name.
No.
Oh, she didn't get the letter.
Oh, I didn't. Okay, well.
What is it you want?
Well, I just mentioned about telekinesis and the experiences I had.
Yes.
One took place at UCLA where a woman dropped a large wad of paper beside me, then walked and sat a few feet ahead, you know, sat down.
Uh-huh.
And by looking at it, I moved back beside her. I wonder what would cause that.
That's a lot of moving.
That's telekinesis. You
that's
get
telekinesis.
The right
that's a lot of ability to move it.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it was it you or was it somebody else helping you?
I don't know.
Yeah, all right.
But anyway, she was involved some way, I guess, but I can't explain it.
Was that the first time you'd done it?
No. I had an unloaded gun and I concentrated and broke a healthy branch, you know, by aiming the gun at it. Well, kind of into kind of a funny mood.
Uh-huh. You mean you aimed the gun at the branch, but you didn't fire the gun, but you broke the branch mentally?
Yeah, I guess so.
It
would be best not to have the gun around, I would say.
Well, I mean, it kind of a strange feeling, and then it happened, you know.
Uh-huh.
What else have you done in that area that you could relate?
Well, those are the only ones I...
How old are you now?
47.
Have you had them since early life? Early childhood?
As far as I can remember, I was born with it, I guess. I just wonder why, how it can cause all these abilities, you know.
Oh, there is a whole physics to it. Some people have them, some don't. Why don't you read Breakthrough to Creativity? Maybe it will help you to explain the different abilities people have.
Mm-hmm.
There are a number of books you can read too, that will give you some of these explanations.
I think Dr. Johns from Princeton has a book on it, too. They've done an awful lot of research into telekinesis there.
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm.
And it gives you an understanding of this great power of the mind.
Yeah, the Russians had done quite a bit on that, moving objects. This has been known for a long time. But it takes a lot of wear and tear on the physical body while this is being done.
Yes.
Yeah.
And, well, now telepathy is another big...
You're able to,
send thoughts, you know.
Transmit thoughts?
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a receiver, or you just transmit them to whomever? And they're going to receive them whether they like them or not.
That's what I find, Bill, yeah.
That's quite fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, listen, why don't you put all of that down on paper, send it to me, and I'll see that Dr. Caragula gets it.
Thank you. I will.
Okay.
Bye-bye, Doctor.
All right.
Bye.
We're going to take a break right now, 15 minutes away from the 11 o'clock mark on a Saturday night. I'm Bill Jenkins. With me, Dr. Safika Karagula.
Oh, I guess around 11, 12 years old. I live in one city. My grandmother lived in the South. And we've always been close. You know, I have some other siblings. But basically, from time to time, she would, you know, call on the phone, see how all of us were doing. And she'd talk to me, and she'd ask me certain questions about things that I had done or seen, you know, while in school or whatever. Anyway, as I got older, you know, I never really checked into this. And then as I got older, around 16, 17 years old, I started sort of paying attention to what she was asking. And sure enough, I realized that there were times that I would maybe be driving in another city maybe I'd be hungry and have something particular in mind at a particular place, you know, times that I could actually pinpoint. And she would call and she'd say, don't say anything. And she'd start describing either what I was seeing or how I was feeling. And we've been trying to figure out how she can do this. And the only time, the thing that really convinced me was some years ago, I was visiting her. And I walked in, I had been out with some friends, and I walked into the house, and I thought I heard her talking to me and asking me to take out the trash. And so I took the trash out, and I came back in, and she called me, and she says, what are you doing? I said, well, you just asked me to take out the trash. She says, no, I just woke up. She says, but before I went to sleep, I had thought about mentioning that to you or leaving you a note about it. And that's when I was convinced. And a couple of times, you know, since then. It happens maybe once or twice a year.
Yeah, but that's true. There are a number of people who have probably had a good rapport with her.
Yeah.
And perhaps when she was asleep, she was communicating already with you, although you were awake, you see, on another dimension called the astral dimension. She was probably contacting you and telling you, and you were aware of what she wanted, so you carried it out. I think these are things to be observed to see how they are related. You know, there are a number of people who are aware of somebody passes on in somewhere, especially if there's a terrific emotions. They are seen and heard by relatives in quite another part of the world. These all are being studied now and evaluated and verified. And I think just don't be scared of it. Just keep an open mind, but don't have a gullible mind either.
No, that's it. But it's really fascinating. I have wondered, you know, is there any way we can use it? Because, yeah. In fact, I have pinpointed that it has to be when, for example, if I'm driving on a highway and you're listening to music and I'm not thinking of anything in particular, mm-hmm. and then all of a sudden something gets my attention.
Mm-hmm.
If I, you know, whether it's something I see or something I think, that's the thing that she'll pick up,
mm-hmm.
you know.
So you must have very close rapport with your grandmother.
Yeah.
She's really tuned in on you.
Yeah.
It's fascinating. But, you know, like, I'm just wondering, how can we either develop it or find out more about it?
I think studying, read as many books as possible. I think there are a lot of literature. And observe yourself. Keep a record of what happens when it happens. I think this is good. And someday, I think you will find in Through the Curtain, there are certain connections between the vortices of energies in the body which give different people different abilities. And so perhaps you and your grandma have similar connections, let's say, so that's why she's more in tune with you than with another member of the family. And these are well known, how they are connected and what produces, let's say, clairaudience or telepathy or astral vision or emotional or mental vision. You see, there are etheric vision, astral vision, mental vision, and there are higher dimensional visions. And so you study those, or if it's clairaudience, let's say you have actual hearing sound, and then you have astral clairaudience, we call it. Then the higher octaves, we call it telepathy, and there's another above that, which is from the Buddhic, we call it instant clear knowing. That comes in a totally different way, people have described it to me, than actual telepathy. So by knowing these, you learn about yourself and the potential you've got for the future.
Does that help you, Robert?
Yeah, somewhat. There was one other thing I was going to mention.
I tell you, we've got a lot of people that want to get on here. Make it very, very quick.
Okay. There was a movie called Little Big Man with Dustin Hoffman. There was an old Indian guy in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
The relationship between this guy and his grandfather and the things his grandfather could see, that's what I experienced with my grandmother.
The American Indians have a tremendous rapport with nature and with each other on that dimension. And I think that if we understood how they communicated together, it's a kind of ESP they've got.
Thank you.
Okay, Robert, thank you very much for sharing that with us. And Norma.
Oh, yeah.
How are you?
Hi. First of all, Mr. Jenkins, I wanted to talk to the doctor, but could you tell me the name of that bookstore in Tustin?
Chippin Books.
Where is it?
It's on Newport Avenue, I believe it is. Just south of the freeway. A couple of blocks.
Oh, just south of the freeway.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks. Now, could I talk to Dr. Caragol?
Certainly, she's right here.
Okay. Doctor, I think probably what I want to talk about is our energy field. And I want to just give you really very small background because I have to explain why I'm asking these questions. I was injured in an auto accident about 2 years ago, and my back was hurt very, very badly, and instead of it improving, it became worse and worse and worse until I got to the point to where I could hardly walk and so forth and so on. And I have gone to so many specialists, you wouldn't believe it, and it was continuing to get worse. Okay, I was given the name of a little doctor, and I guess he's a chiropractor, but I'm telling you, he doesn't practice any way I've ever heard of a chiropractor practicing, but here's what I want to know. He has a technique that he applies to me, and he explained it. He said that we have an energy field, and that when we are healthy, our energy field is polarized from east to west. Have you heard of that?
Well, sometimes, I tell you one thing, sometimes people... Did he help you?
Yes, that's why I'm...
Well, let me just tell you.
I want to know about
it. I tell you what, some people do have some abilities where they can transmit some of the energy, the vital field or the etheric energy from one person to the other. It's like a battery that's down, and then you recharge it.
Well, he uses a technique where he applies some massaging and different things to certain areas, certain spots of my body, which I suppose would be, let's see what chiropractors would call, not meridians, but, like when you use acupuncture.
Zone areas.
Yeah.
All right.
And manipulates those some way until I can feel after a while I can feel just like there's a little bit of an electrical current
in my
body.
That's all right. I think probably he has some talent, some ability to transmit part of the vitality, and I think so long he's helped you, don't worry about the terms he uses.
Well, yeah, I can't understand why is he releasing this pain.
It's easy. It's like a battery that's short, let's say. You have a battery that's short-circuited, all right? You go to a place and you have the battery recharged. He may have an ability to recharge your own physical body, then your body does the rest
and
of the healing.
It heals itself?
That's correct.
That's what I was wondering
about. That's what it is.
He opens up all these little blood vessels and you get oxygen and everything going through your body.
And you do the rest of the healing yourself.
Do you know of any books that would give me more information on this? It's fascinating, and I never even heard of it before.
Well, I think there are a number of books you can read about.
Anything about energy fields?
Oh, there's a lot. In my book, Breakthrough to Creativity, Your Higher Sense Perception, you find description of those fields of energy. There's Leadbeater's book, Man Visible and Invisible. There are books on the chakras and their transmission of energy.
Just go down to any good metaphysical bookstore, Norma. The music means that we've got to go.
Mm-hmm.
And thanks for sharing that with us. But they can help you down at the bookstore and find out all about that. We'll be back right after the news. I'm Bill Jenkins. A Saturday night date that you and I have, and I'm so delighted you're along. My name is Bill Jenkins. We call this Open Mind on KABC. And we like to open yours always to something new, something challenging, and we hope something worthwhile. And to help us along tonight is a lady who has certainly challenged and done so many things worthwhile for mankind, Dr. Shafika Karagula. She's written a couple of books, Breakthrough in Creativity, which is certainly one of the books that I would put on your must-reading list. So many people ask me the books that they should read, and there are the ones that have been very, very valuable in forming the Open Mind Show. That certainly is one, and of course the new one, Through the Curtain, is another one. Go ahead.
I should just briefly say they wonder what the Through the Curtain will include. I thought I'd just mention a few of the things that the book includes. It includes the mechanism, the physics of different types of ESP, extrasensory perception or higher sense perception. What's the difference between telepathic contact or clear seeing or seeing at a distance or clairaudience and how these things work. There are also other dimensions of ability some people have. There are sections which deal with healing, and sometimes even during sleep there are certain forces, angelic beings that can help in healing and so forth. We should be aware of these things. What are the different types of healing that take place? There's a great deal today of interest on crystals, the future effects of crystals and crystalline forms. Let's remember laser beam is a form of crystal light.
Certainly, yeah.
And I think there's going to be a great deal of factors in using sound, color, and in healing of the future. But there are also dangers, I must say, immediately. There are dangers in using certain frequencies of sound, which may produce harm to the person, as well as good. We haven't quite got into the basic factors, and I have no doubt that these will be solved before long.
Maybe you can tell me something. I had Dr. Flanagan tell you, speaking of crystals, but
yes.
I've got an experiment going
in
my spa.
Yeah.
My spa at home is not heating, so the water is cold.
Yeah.
But we put a crystal in it six weeks ago, about the size of your thumb.
Mm-hmm.
So the water has been sitting there, not being heated, not filtered, no chlorine, no chemicals at all. And it is crystal clear. It is totally pure. I've been tested today. It is just a perfect batch of water.
What kind of crystal did you use?
It's a quartz crystal.
Just plain quartz crystal? Just let it inside the water?
I just drop it in the bottom of the water. Now, I know that the chemical companies are not going to like that, but...
I don't know about that, but I'm sure crystals have... They are really the polar opposite of metals. There is a great deal about them in the description. They are the the energies, there will be new energies brought from the crystalline patterns. And I'm sure they will be used in sound. Just radio is, of course, communication uses.
Well, use that. Use that for you to hear us, yes.
So that's correct. But also they will be producing certain lights from the different aspects of crystals. You know, this is, again, discussed in Through the Curtain. You know, the crystal has two polarities, two aspects. One is the electrical phenomena,
mm-hmm.
and then there is also the light phenomena from it can come. In other words, the optical and the auditory. So we have used a great deal the radio frequencies by cutting crystals in a certain way, but in the future we're going to cut them along certain other lines, along their optical lines, and they will produce a totally different energy patterns that we're looking for. And I think these are some of the things discussed in Through the Curtain. There are discussions of things that are coming in advances in medicine, in technology, and what to look for in the future, what's happening to our country. And, of course, personally, I always like to think how consciousness is evolved, how spirit and matter meets, and the discussion in the last chapter of the book, the student being shown the polarity of spirit and matter and consciousness is a very interesting and very beautifully described. Make us realize that these other dimensions which exist when a student goes to sleep, but he goes to classes and learns all these things, that's where our new ideas all come to us. You realize we really don't have anything on our own.
No, at all.
We just tune in. We're just an equipment that tunes into new concepts.
The action is on the other side.
That's correct. We have to work with it ourselves.
Yes, right.
They're having a rough time with us.
Well, they have been, but I think that they may be smiling a little bit more because more people are tuning in, I think, in this age in which we're now moving, this new age.
There's tremendous amount of tune-in to new concepts. People are ready. We are having two extremes, if we look at it. We have extreme fanaticism, whether it's political, religious, scientific.
Mm-hmm.
The scientists are so rigid, they're scared stiff of these new concepts. And then you have the people who are going to the other extreme who are so open-minded, I call sometimes, they become gullible. They'll swallow anything that a psychic says. And we have to come to that midway point of evaluating it.
A lot of people are having their belief systems fractured now.
Oh,
right?
Fractured.
Last week we had a gentleman on who's been described to me, and after spending a great deal of time with him, I think we can call him one of our modern-day geniuses, John Bedini, who has developed an electronic device that produces more energy than it uses. It's a free energy device.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a perpetual motion machine. It's mm-hmm. using energy. No. It's just getting it mm-hmm. in a different way. And during the course of the week, there have been some very, very firm, solid scientists go down, check his machine, and it so was contrary to their belief systems that some of them got ill, literally got ill.
It's very frightening to a true scientist who's rigid
mm-hmm.
to be shattered by things that he can't understand or comprehend.
Well, all the things he had been taught and all the things he had himself taught.
That's right.
Just proved in one afternoon were wrong.
Let me say, the great scientist, whether it is Niels Bohr, whether it's Einstein, whether it's Planck or all these, they are people who tune into some of this new knowledge, and they're fearless.
Mm-hmm.
Or we can call Reichenbach the first great scientist of the last century.
Mm-hmm.
I think people don't realize it's not something new. In the last century we had the first neurophysiologist who wrote the first book on psychometry. We have Denton, the geologist who made the best research work on psychometry, holding an object and knowing what it is. And his wife would see exactly the geological formation at a distance.
Mm-hmm.
And then he would go there and find what she described was perfectly true.
Psychic archaeology, yes.
And what was interesting, it was her description of the moon. I don't know if you know that. She described the moon, that there will be certain quakes there, earthquakes, and she described some of the things. And when the astronauts were there, some of her description was correct.
That
was 100 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so
there's nothing really new. It's just the ability to tune in on it and use it.
Well, we're using it better. I think we're understanding ourselves.
That's it. And realizing that we can.
And we can evolve. I think we are evolving.
Mm-hmm.
And we are building within our system interconnection. The equipment is there. That's why everybody's got the same potential. We may, by analogy, say the equipment is there, but the connections haven't been made. The wires haven't been put together. So we get somebody, one can see at a distance, one can hear at a distance, one can communicate at a distance, or to the other side of life. And others feel it's right, but they can't do it. It's all right. someday they will be able to do
someday
that.
Someday you will, or maybe the next time around you will.
Next time around, that's right. But that's what I think I'm getting amused, because of if you next time around, where did you store all that information? There is a physics to it.
There is a physics and the dynamics, too.
The dynamics, that there is a fourth field, which most people don't speak about, which in it is the computer galaxy, mm-hmm. if you want, where everything that has happened to you is fed into that computer. It's like a gene.
Mm-hmm.
And we say how two little genes or two cells in sperm and ovum bring in a human being. It has in it the essence of all that we are. That's how we build up and we come back and we can remember something.
That little bit of intelligence and energy then got to work and started creating a master chemist, a master engineer, and created you and me.
That's right.
Some people call that the monad.
Yes, monad, but I was thinking of the causal body.
Mm-hmm.
The body of causes, which is seen in some of the ancient Christian churches. If you go to Byzantine church, if you go to India, you see the same paintings.
Right.
Whereas the fourth field has in it a gene, they call it an atom, but an atom in a different concept, where there is one connected with your physical body, one with your emotional body, one with your mental body, which then interconnects to the back to the spirit. So there's a lot of connections. And this is how we come back. And some people can bring memory from these computerized systems with all the information there is.
You can tap that if it's required, if it's necessary.
Well, sometimes it's a blessing we don't know.
Well, I think probably most of the time.
Yes, most of the time. I prefer not to know many things.
You know, illnesses and accidents don't take the weekend off, do they? Neither does White. I'm Bill Jenkins, and with me is Dr. Shafika Karagula. Is there any way someone can reach you if they want to?
I think through your station or...
Write me.
Write you, and I think you'll see to it that I get it.
I certainly will. Oh. I wouldn't dare not to.
That may be the best way.
All right. Let me see. Someone, if I can just kind of... They wanted to know the telephone number for the Monroe Institute. I'll try to find that and get that to you about them. We do have Russ on the line right now. Russ?
Hi, Bill.
How are you?
I'd like to talk about the out-of-body experience.
Mm-hmm.
I had one almost a couple of years ago.
Yes.
And my experience of that was I really didn't know I was...